I want you to imagine that something very special happens to you tomorrow. I want you to imagine that you get an envelope that gets delivered to your house, and it's from a solicitor. And you open it, and it says that you might know it, but there was a long-lost distant relative. You don't recognize the name, but it said a long-distant relative has died, and they've left you some money. They've left you £1,000, and it will be in your account by the end of the day. And at lunchtime, you check your bank account, and there's £1,000 that you never had just sitting there. I wonder what you would do with it. Maybe you would take it and make it a really special Christmas this year. I wonder whether you would kind of keep it for the sales, whether you're kind of one of those thrifty people, and you keep it for the sales to get the most of it. Or maybe there's some things that you've kind of wanted, a new sofa or a big TV, or there's something that you've been wanting. What happens if it wasn't £1,000? What happens if it was £10,000? What would you do then? Maybe you're putting it towards a deposit for a house, new car, holiday next year. Maybe you're one of those sensible people and you're going to save it. Any sensible people in the house? Save it, pay off debt or whatever. But the interesting thing here is, as you conduct that thought experiment, probably nearly all of us, if not all of us, trusted our instincts. As we thought about it, we trusted ourselves to think about what we might do. That we imagined that we're quite good at what we do with money. Probably none of you thought, I've no idea. What do you do when you've got money? I've never done stuff with money before. What do you get? I've got no ideas. I've got no thoughts. I'm going to go and ask someone else and say, I've no idea what to do with money. I've got £1,000. Can you go and do something with it for me? Probably none of us had that thought in our mind. Probably many of us had lots of thoughts and ideas of what we might do. And yet, a lot of kind of modern psychology, when they kind of analyze and research human beings, how we wired, they keep coming up with this conclusion that the evidence suggests that human beings are not very good at knowing what's best for them. That human beings are not very good at working out what really is best for them. Brianna Weiss, who does some writing around psychology and human beings, how they're wired, this is what she says. Have a listen to this. It'll probably disturb you and upset you a little bit, but have a listen anyway. You believe that creating your best life is a matter of deciding what you want and then going after it. But in reality, you are psychologically incapable of being able to predict what will make you happy. That psychologically, you're incapable of predicting what will make you happy. And she would draw that from lots of different research. And interesting, Jesus would say the same thing, wouldn't he? Jesus would say human beings often go in one direction and we imagine it's this or this, it's this. But actually, he wants us to go in a different direction. I mean, nobody, as we enter into December the 1st and they put up their advent calendar, nobody thinks, really, what I want by the end of the month, you know, my ambition and my dream and my goal, what I really love to have is to go into the new year feeling really sluggish, cut upon half a stone, and I don't feel that good about myself. Nobody imagines, really, what I want to do is I want to go into 2022 and I want my debt levels to be higher. I want more anxiety. I want the next 6 months to be worrying about how I paid for Christmas and what I spent in December. Nobody thinks I really would do with a bit more anxiety, do they? Nobody thinks, you know what, I could do with a bit more tension in my marriage. I could do with falling out with my in-laws, and I could do with a bit of tension with my kids as we spend all that time together over Christmas and New Year. Nobody imagines that, do they? Do you think anybody ever experiences that? Does anybody ever walk into that? And so what I want to suggest to you this morning, as uncomfortable we are with the idea that maybe we don't always know how to get Christmas right, is I want to invite you to trust Jesus for the next few weeks. I want to invite you to trust the words of Jesus for the next few weeks. You know, and you may be watching online or you're in the room and you're maybe not a religious person, a church person. Maybe you're just coming in and having a little look. I want to invite you, whatever you think of God, Jesus, the Christian thing, all that sort of stuff, I want to invite you for the next few weeks to trust Jesus for how to get Christmas right. And if it doesn't work, if you're worst off, then next year just go back doing the old thing that you haven't really lost very much, have you? And the words of Jesus that I want to invite you to trust are these ones. If we just move that slide forward for me. Jesus says this. He says, it's more blessed to give than receive. Jesus said that in Acts 20, 35. It's more blessed to give than receive. The word blessed, it's not kind of a religious word. It's not a churchy word. The word blessed, actually, it's what you're looking for. All right, the word blessed is actually what you're looking for. It's that kind of state of joy, deep satisfaction, fulfillment, that place where you think, actually, this is what life is all about. It's not kind of trivial, kind of buzz with pleasure. It's that deep sense that this is what life is all about. And Jesus said, if you want to enter that place where you get a deep sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, you will enter there much more likely if you give rather than receive. What that means is, if you get £1,000 in your bank account, the return on investment for your happiness will be more if you give it away than if you spend it on yourself. You'll get kind of more bang for your buck, if you want to use that language, the more that you give it into other people, if Jesus is right. And I always think it's funny when modern psychologists kind of study the way human beings wired and they end up in a place where they agree with Jesus. You think, well, you could just come to church and read your Bible. You don't have to spend all that money investigating all that sort of stuff. And he's an experiment research has done time and time and time again, and it goes something like this. They gather a group of people together, about 40 people, and they meet them in a shopping centre, and they give them all an envelope, and it has £50 in it. And half of them have instructions to go shop and buy themselves something nice and report back. And the other half are sent to go out shopping and to buy something for other people and to report back. And they have a conversation, kind of assess where they start point, and then they go and spend the money on themselves or other people, and they have a conversation and investigate where they end up point. And every single time, the ones who spend it on other people end up happier, more content, more joy, more fulfilled. It's better. It's more blessed. You get in a better place when you give than when you get. What would that look like for you this Christmas? Because in a sense, what has happened is if you kind of read the start of the Bible, you see in Genesis 1 that God created the world and it was perfect. And everything was in alignment and human beings were blessed and happy. And then the second chapter talks about everything going out of alignment and everything gets twisted and warped. And what that means is that human beings get confused very much on what is best for them, what is right, what's the way to live a fulfilled life. And you see Jesus spending a lot of his time saying, you've got it all wrong. You know, you think that to be the top of the tree, you need to be the greatest. But actually, when you're the bottom and you're last, then actually that means you're at the top. And he says, when you think about getting lots of happiness and being rich, actually you get that from giving away rather than getting. And you can follow the Jesus teachings of Jesus. And often he's saying, actually, we've got it wrong. And because of the way the world's world, the way it's broken, we're kind of misaligned on what we think is really best for us. And so I invite you to trust Jesus for the next few weeks, just to give it a go. And see what might happen and see what it might be like. The world of Proverbs, verse of Proverbs 11:24, it says the same thing as Jesus, but it kind of says it in a more visual way. It says this, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. When I was young enough to be a youth worker, and when I used to be cool and trendy, and I took a bunch of young people away for the weekend. And you've got to be careful with biblical ideas and truths from Jesus, because they have a power beyond what you can imagine. And we took these young people away from the weekend, and we did all sorts of stuff, and we ended the weekend by talking about this idea of impacting those beyond you. And we give them this challenge that we called a grace attack. All right, grace is when we get something for nothing, but we say, what we want you to do, we want you to attack other people with grace. All right, we thought if we make it aggressive and violent, we might get some of the lads involved in this idea, all right? And we give them these cards, and the card said, "You've been grace attacked, find out more from your local church." And we give them the cards and challenge them off to do it, and then we headed home. I drove home in the minibus, and halfway heading home, we stopped at a service station. And any of you who've looked after young people, you'll have a sense that when young people are together, your antennae goes up, that they're up to something. And we were queuing in McDonald's, right? We're having this queue, and they're kind of, everything's just kind of normal. And then there's a buzz, and there's excitement, there's an energy, and you're like, oh no, we're in a public place, I'm responsible, what is going on? And then I noticed one of the young people, we're in this McDonald's queue, walks up to the counter where there was a young teenage girl stood there, and they started to have a conversation. And then he hands over a card to her, and she looks at it confused, looks at him. She hands it to the McDonald's staff. The McDonald's staff looks at this card. You see him shrug his shoulders, and he hands it back to her. And she was like, shakes. And then you see the lad handing over the money to the McDonald's staff member. And he comes back to the other group that he was part of. And they all start bouncing, and there's energy flying off all over the place. And he decided to buy her McDonald's. And he was trying to explain to her that he's from a church and he's been given this challenge, and she's thinking, this really weird, is this a scam? And she's handing it to the McDonald's staff, and he doesn't know, does he? And we head back into the bus, and we're driving along the bus, and I want to get home, so I'm going as fast as I'm allowed on the motorway in a minibus. We're live stream, I understand that. And we happen to overtake the car that's got the girl in, who's sat in the back eating her McDonald's. And I'm driving along, and suddenly the energy in the bus goes up, and I look in my mirror, and the whole of the youth group is pinned against that sort of window. All of them across there going absolutely bananas, shaking everything they can. This girl's eating a McDonald's. She looks up, and this crazy minibus goes past with all these youth going crazy at her. For £5, there was an awful lot of life in that minibus. There was an awful lot of joy and energy in that minibus. Proverbs said, the world of the generous, it gets larger and larger. The stingy, it gets kind of smaller and smaller. That it opens up to another way of being. It opens up a life and a sense of energy. I wonder what it would look like for you this Christmas to trust the words of Jesus, to trust the proverb that actually the world of the generous, it gets larger and larger. That I'll be more blessed and more satisfied. I'll have a deeper sense of life if I learn to give rather than receive. Does this ever happen to you, that Christmas giving can turn into a trade? Do you know what I mean by a trade? That you buy for the people who buy for you. Do you ever have that experience on the 23rd of December and someone not on your list has come and bought you a present? And you're like, oh no, I didn't know we were doing presents. And you've got to quickly strip to the shops. I had a conversation with my brother one year. Our kids were growing up, and he said to me, shall we just buy for the kids and let's not do presents anymore? Have you ever had that conversation with someone? Since when was presents a trade? Since when was giving a trade? So I give to you and you give to me. That's not giving, is it? That's an economic exchange. So I don't mean give to people who then give to you. Maybe we could just give to someone who's not going to give to us and just see what happens. Maybe there's just somebody on your street. Maybe there's someone who just lives on their own and you went, you know what, I'm just going to go and give them a present. Maybe there's someone in your workplace, or maybe it's the shop assistant who serves you milk every day. Maybe, you know what, I'm just going to go, Merry Christmas. Maybe you know somebody who you could just go and give them something. It doesn't have to be money either, does it? You know what I mean? You could just say, you know, I'm just going to, there's somebody who's overwhelmed. I'm going to say, do you want me to have my kid? I mean, have your kids while you go shopping? Or maybe it's somebody on their own and you're just going to invite them around for a meal. Or that kind of period between Christmas and New Year, once family have kind of all gone, there's somebody you just think, you know what? I'm just going to connect to them and offer a friendship. Maybe you're going to do this. In the olden days, we used to do Christmas cards, right? And maybe you could just send someone a Christmas card, but you write a message in the Christmas card that is from your heart, and you want to offer that as a gift. I'm sure that you've got lots of ideas. Maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt and stir things up just now. Some of you will know that I lead Eccles location. And we were thinking this year about how do we serve the community? How do we bless people? And we thought about how do you actually know what the needs are in your community? How do you know what the needs are of the people around? And we thought, well, we could just ask them, couldn't we? And so we've done this thing called Christmas Angels where we ask the community, do you know anyone that we could just give a thoughtful gift to? Do you know anyone who's kind of in need? And we could go and do something. And we put it all over Facebook and people started to fill in forms and tell us about people that we could go and give a gift to. And we met in November, Life Church Eccles on location Sunday. And as we met, I wanted to give the group just a little flavour of some of the people who had been nominated. And someone was nominated who was a single parent. And she was starting over again because of domestic violence. She'd need to flee her situation. And she was new to the area and didn't know anybody. And she was starting again. And in the request, we say, what might they like? And she's just like, in the nominations, like, just maybe some chocolates. That's not much, is it? And then the next person, we read theirs, and it's like actually someone who nominated her kids and said, actually, they've just been returned to me. They were in foster care. And said, actually, I've been a heroin addict for many years. I've been clean for two years now, and my kids have just come back to me. And she explained a lot of the operations and healthcare issues that one of her kids had happened. And this is what she said. She said, they've had the worst start in life. And I feel they all deserve some happiness. Thank you for reading. I read two and then I fell apart in the group. Someone else has to read the rest. I couldn't do it. Not surprisingly, everybody in Life Church Eccles took one, at least one nomination of Gather the Gifts. And on location Sunday, next Sunday, we will gather together and we'll all bring the gifts that we've bought. We've got 32 nominations, right, which is more than 32 people, but 32 nominations. And so as we gather, we'll have breakfast because we always eat breakfast when we gather in Eccles, all right? And there'll be a table and we'll put up all the presents. And if Jesus is right, because those presents constitute a cost, don't they? Because some of us have to give up time, which means we've watched less Netflix because we've been shopping. We've spent money on these presents, so we've got less money for ourselves. But if Jesus is right, as we look and pray over those presents, and as we take those presents and we turn up at the door, perhaps as a surprise, and the person's no idea that we're turning up because they don't know they've been nominated, and we turn up and just say, you've been nominated for Christmas Angels, we just want to give you this. We just pray you'll have a great, blessed Christmas and know that people are thinking of you. If Jesus is right, as that happens, we won't even be thinking of the cost. We won't be thinking that we've lost time and that we've lost money. Actually, if Jesus is right, the most blessed people is not going to be the people in the house, it's going to be the people delivering. Who would probably for weeks and months be thinking of the stories of the people that they've impacted and that they've shaped. But you don't have to be in Eccles to be a Christmas angel, do you? You could be a Christmas angel, couldn't you? You probably have people come to your mind. You know, and they don't have to be completely destitute, having the worst time of their life or whatever. Everyone needs a bit of joy, don't they? But you could just be a Christmas angel. You could just think, you know, I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to trust his words that says, actually, it's better when you give than to receive. I'm just going to kind of try and reorientate myself a little bit to think, actually, the world of the generous gets bigger and bigger. Maybe to get Christmas right, it's not about me. Maybe it's about other people. And I know you know that already, don't you? That's not rocket science. But are you living that this Christmas? Not like, do you know that and you've heard that Bible verse? Are you living that this Christmas? Are you trusting in that? As in, that's what you're doing with your time and with your money. I always felt sorry for my dad on Christmas Day. Growing up, Christmas Day was always special. Mum and dad in the house, sometimes grandparents, me and my brother. And we always got amazing gifts. Mum and dad didn't have a lot of money, but we always had amazing gifts, and Christmas Day was always just so fantastic. But I always felt sorry for my dad. because my dad was part of the Salvation Army band. He was part of the Salvation Army, and for some reason they stuck him on the rotor on Christmas Day, which means that we'd get up and our routine would be open all our presents, but it had to be done by 9:30. So you'd kind of enjoy him, but there was a bit of a pace to it, and it had to be done by 9:30 because 9:30 my dad had to go out, and he had to do this Salvation Army thing. And I always felt sorry for him because 9:30, all the presents are open, but we're just getting started, Dad. You know, we've got Lego to build, we've got the Millennium Falcon to play with, there's all sorts of stuff. But my dad has to go out, and I always felt sorry for him. He'd come back at 12 and he enjoyed the afternoon evening, but he missed half the day. And then when I was 14, I grew up in the Salvation Army. I played in the Salvation Army band as well. And age of 14, I can remember one year I said, "Can I come with you, Dad?" I've no idea why I thought that, why I asked that. I said, "Can I come with you, Dad?" He said, "Yeah, you could come." And so I got my Salvation Army uniform on and I got my brass instrument and I went out with my dad 9:30 on Christmas Day. Christmas is all about your presents, isn't it, as a kid? And we went out and I wasn't really sure where we were going, and we arrived at the hospital and we wandered into the hospital and we stood around the ward and started playing. And this is going to sound stupid to you, right? But as a 13, 14-year-old, it had never clocked in my head that on Christmas Day, not everybody was sitting having a great time with lots of presents, that people spent it in hospital. You know, that penny had never really dropped because you just focus on how amazing Christmas is, don't you? And then we left the hospital and we went to an older people's home, and we went there, and I remember going into the lounge and there was all these old, very old people sat around, and you can see that at the end of their life, you know, they're not doing very much except sitting there. And some of them have family with them, but some of them don't. And we sat and we just played Silent Night. And we just played Away in a Manger. And I was part of that. And I could see the reaction and I could see the faces of these people on Christmas Day. And it was like, it was different from opening a Lego set. Opening a Lego set is great, but there was a different quality to that experience. You know, it was about something else. And it was almost like in that moment, in that sense, that a little door opened, and through the door I could see that there was another world, that there was another way of being, there was another thing about life beyond just getting lots of stuff. And it was the whisper of Jesus for me, just saying, it's about more than you. You know, life is about more than you. And inviting me into a new world and a new way of being. And I wonder whether anyone can see an open door this morning, whether you can sense the whisper of Jesus. And he's saying, if you want to get Christmas right, there's another way to be. That there's another way to get Christmas right. Actually, it's to get life right. There's another way to be blessed. There's another way to live life to the full, to have an abundance, the thing that you're seeking, there's another way. And it involves trust in his words that actually the way is to give rather than just receive. And this morning's not about guilt trip. I've got no appeal. There's nothing I want you to give to or help with, etc. You know, and I don't want you to feel kind of shame or pressure and think, oh, what about the money I've spent on my kids or me, or what about this or that? All I want you to do is to listen to the whisper of Jesus. And if it's the whisper of Jesus, it won't be like a baseball bat telling you you're terrible and you're rubbish. That's not the whisper of Jesus. The whisper of Jesus is there'll be a name and there'll be a person, there'll be a way of blessing somebody or a situation. That's the whisper of Jesus. And he's just saying, come on. And he's excited. He said, there's another way to be. There's another way to live. There's another way to get Christmas right. And you just need to decide whether you're going to walk through the door. You just need to decide whether you're going to trust his words and follow and do whatever he asks. Let's just have a moment of silence, a moment of prayer. And I just want to give you a little space for a minute or two just to respond to Jesus. If you're sensing God stirring, he's saying something, he's whispering, he's inviting you into another way of living or being, then in your heart, you might just want to respond to that. You just might want to say, yes, you're going to do whatever he's asking. You just want him to lead you into a new, deeper, fulfilling way of being. It's not about my words. It's about you encountering Jesus right here. So I'm just going to give a moment of silence. I'm just going to invite you in your heart just to respond if Jesus is speaking. And then I'm going to pray. Jesus, I believe right now that you're inviting people into a life of adventure, that you're inviting people into an abundance of life, that you're inviting people into a richer, deeper, fuller life, a life that you called blessed. And I just want to pray for my friends here and for my friends online as well. I just want to pray that you'll come by a power of your Holy Spirit to empower us to walk into that life that you're inviting us to. And you'll be with us as we live this adventure. This life of generosity, of giving, of looking out for others. Will you lead us as we walk into that adventure? Amen.